Just going to share a little bit about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because it goes very well with the stories that have been shared this morning. Unfortunately, the chapter division is not a good one. It breaks up the thought that started in chapter 3 about the new covenant. You have to remember that in the Bible that the chapters are not inspired, nor are the verses, and sometimes it breaks the thought. So if we pick up the idea about the new covenant in chapter 3, and the new covenant is God's agreement until the end of time that because Jesus died and rose again, he forgives our sin and gives us eternal life when we ask him to, when we trust him as our personal Savior. That's the new covenant. Covenant simply means an agreement. It's like a will that's put into effect when someone dies. And when Jesus died, he put that will into effect. And we benefit by that now. So in chapter 4, it says, since God in his mercy has given us this new way or this new covenant, we never give up. And that's the motivation. We don't give up. You just heard 32 years. That's a pretty good chunk of time involved in ministry and back and forth to Indonesia. And that's a lot of time. And not only the motivation is not giving up, but also it says we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. So there was integrity in the ministry. As Bertie mentioned, he was involved in administrative work in the YMMP, which was the sponsoring board, to bring the New Tribes mission over there many years ago. But, you know, over the course of his ministry in 32 years, and Sandra as well, the integrity of the ministry to reject the world's ways, and we had talked about that at different times, he and I, and, you know, there's many things that attract people to ministry that are not necessarily very good. To me, it's like cotton candy. You know what cotton candy is like, right? You take a bite, and it's gone. People offer a lot of things in Christianity, and it's just gone because it's not the Christianity that comes from the Scripture. It's not the gospel of grace. And those that have been on the foreign field have seen, unfortunately, the stuff that the U.S. has exported. But the Bible says here that we reject that kind of stuff. There's a rejection of the world ways, but then it says we tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. You know, Bertie and Sandra have had an honest and integrity ministry for many years. Then there's the New Covenant context, not just the motivation, but the context. Their context was Indonesia and Malaysia. Paul writes, if the good news is that we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who's in the likeness of God. That's the ministry context that Paul was writing about. That's the ministry context of the world. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they can't see the light. Bertie and Sandra's ministry context was Indonesia. It's the largest Muslim country in the world. It's the fourth largest population country in the world after China, India, and the United States. We don't normally think that. It looks like a bunch of islands over there, and it is a bunch of islands, 13,000 of them. Many of them not inhabited, but it's a huge country. If you plop that area-wise on the United States, it would cover from coast to coast. But we don't realize that because we're here, they're there. It's right along the equator, so, you know, it's rainy season and dry season, and right along the equator, it's mostly rainy season, right? Those of you who have been there, it's pretty humid. I remember being there a few years ago, and you could just stand still, and the water would just run off you, right? Nobody mentioned Bertie's skill in driving. You want a Six Flags ride? Jakarta's the place, and he's the driver. He knows what I'm talking about. Jakarta is the second largest urban city in the world, over 12 million people. And you want to see traffic? No, you don't want to see traffic there. They can make a three-lane road into a five-lane road very simply. Story for another day. Not only is it one of the most populated areas, there's also the densest jungles. And Bertie and Sander have been both places, Jakarta and the middle of nowhere. The middle of nowhere, one place that I remember being with them in the Simpang Asli area, it's a helicopter ride in or an 8-hour walk. Guess which one we did? We did the 8-hour, I mean, no, no, we did the helicopter. this tribe out in the middle of nowhere moved to the place that was inaccessible because they had been harassed and attacked by other tribes around them. So they moved where nobody could see them or reach them, and that was true. And yet the gospel went there, and Bertie and Sandra had an influence in the leadership of the people there. When the ministry focus, not just the context, but the ministry focus is not about us, it's about Jesus. Because Paul writes, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. And the reason is that God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that's seen it in the face of Jesus. Bertie and Sandra trusted Jesus as their Savior many years ago, and God led them into the ministry of missions, and they were shining this light of the gospel in the other places, whether it was over here or over there. They were messengers. The focus was not on them, but on the light that comes from Jesus. The ministry containers, which is us, the messengers, Paul writes, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars, like flower pots. You know what those pottery pots are? Boy, do they chip easily. We are that vessel. We are the things that chip and break easily. You've known that. But it says, containing this great treasure. That's the new covenant. We're the container of the great treasure. The treasure is what's in the pot, not the pot. The pot's not the treasure. And it makes it clear that the great power is from God and not of ourselves. How can you look at Bertie and Sandra's lives and not say they have been like the clay pots, very fragile? Back in 2002, Sandra had a kidney transplant. That makes you fragile. You know, the kidney issues that she had before them, the issues that Bertie's had with the gluten, and then more recently the strokes, very fragile. We are fragile people. We are the clay pots. But it makes it clear that the power is from God, not ourselves. Paul also writes, in the source of the power is of God, but the messengers, we identify with that, don't we? Not just missionaries, not just pastors, not just wives, but all of us feel this way at times. We are pressed in every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. You know, in the long-haul ministry, we're going to face difficulties. And in your lives, you have faced difficulties, and you can be troubled but not crushed. It says we're perplexed. Do you ever either physically or mentally scratch your head and say, what is going on? We do that, don't we? We don't know what's going on. We get attacked by the enemy. We even have friendly fire periodically. Paul writes on, we're not driven to despair, even though we might be perplexed. We're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be also seen in our bodies. All of us face these things to some degree, and it's not easy. There is a definite spiritual warfare on the foreign fields. I've often thought, and many of you have heard about the veterans of foreign wars that we have for our servicemen. I wonder why there's not an organization called Veterans of Foreign Wars for Missionaries, because they are on the battlefield, spiritually speaking. Paul writes, yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be evident in our dying bodies. We live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. There's also the New Covenant confidence. We preach, we continue to do this because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present himself together with you. This is for your benefit, and for God's grace reaches more and more people, there'll be a great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. So there's the New Covenant confidence. We know that God will raise us from the dead. We know that there'll be people who will be grateful for our ministry, and God will receive more and more glory. That's confidence. Paul had that confidence. Bertie and Sandra have that confidence. If you serve, you have that confidence. Even though, he just said, we're perplexed, we get beaten down, and all those things, he says, we still have confidence. And then he says in the next verse, that's why we never give up. He goes right back to what he said at the beginning of the chapter. We have this ministry, we're not giving up. Even though our bodies are dying, age, accident, illness, you know, there's so many things that can take us out. And Paul says, that's what's happening to us. But our spirits are being renewed every day. And he has this New Covenant perspective that our present troubles are small, temporary, they won't last long, and yet they produce in us the glory that outweighs them all and will last forever. We don't look at the troubles we see now, but rather we fix our gaze on the things that can't be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we can't see right now will last forever. How many of us have been through a blinding snowstorm or fog, and some people have been through the hurricanes? You know, none of us would doubt that the sun is shining, right? You have this layer of weather garbage, and yet we know above that weather is what? Sun shining, always. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can't see in our lives, can we? We don't know what's going on. It's like that black cloud that hovers over us in the storm. And yet our confidence is in God, who is above the storm. He's got stuff in his control, just as it says here. Nate Saint, one of the missionary pilot who was martyred back in 1956, that slips me for the moment. He says, people who don't know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives, and when the bubbles burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they've wasted. You know, what are we doing with our lives? How are we investing that? I trust that you're investing in eternal things and not just the temporal things. People who don't believe in missions have not read the New Testament, because right from the beginning, Jesus said, the field is the world. The early church took him at his word and went east, west, north, and south. I appreciated what Janice said about the people who had heard from Bertie through email, FaceTime, and WhatsApp and those things. I know Bertie was on the phone. In fact, he had two phones. That's how popular he was. He could hold one to each ear, you know. You have to remember that Indonesia is 12 time zones away from us. So when the people were awake over there in the daytime, guess who was up at night doing the work? Bertie, Sandra. You know, it's inconvenient many times to do ministry, isn't it? Because of that very thing. I'm thinking of all the times that we stood here as or with you as a church, commissioning them out, receiving their reports when they got back. You know, just like the New Testament did. We read so many times from Acts chapter 13 of being sent out, coming back. Yeah, I'm grateful for that experience, and I trust that you are as well. That was very special. It says, the man or woman at home who prays often has as much to do with the effectiveness of the missionary on the field and consequently the results of his or her labors as the missionary. Our prayers on their behalf, you know, for their protection, for their well-being, for the effectiveness of their ministry was important to them. It's important to us. We share in that ministry. It's not just we send them, they go do the work. Part of the work is done here on this side of the ocean. May the Lord richly bless you. He has. You've blessed us. Yeah, may he continue.
If you would stand as we sing a hymn.